Well, if you'd like to take your Bibles and turn again to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. Again, looking at verses 1 down to 19. And I'm sure that this is a text that many of you will be familiar with. A very well-known text, and often is a text that is taken for Sunday schools, as it's a great picture of salvation. You may know of the captain Naaman, of the host of the Syrians, and how he, being a leper, needed to be cleansed. What a beautiful picture we find of the sinful man with a disease that can only be cleansed by God. And of course he goes to the prophet Elisha and washes himself in the Jordan River 7 times, and he's cleansed by the Lord. It's a beautiful picture we find there of the gospel and of salvation. But the Lord has really burdened on my heart over these last few weeks at the thought of the potential of a child. How much potential that is found in a single child that knows and loves God and has been taught in the ways of God. How God can use a child to do great and mighty things. And here we find at the beginning of the 5th chapter of 2 Kings, we find a little maiden, don't we, who has a great part to play in the life and in the salvation of Naaman. Naaman is described here as a great man. Here in verse 1, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given him deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. So here we find he is a great man. Here's a man who had no want in terms of this world. He was greatly revered by his people. They loved him. It tells us that the Lord had given him deliverance. The Lord had been with him, which is an interesting thought. The sovereignty of God in enabling the enemies of God's people. And that the people knew that he was a great man of valor. That he was trusted to win these battles and wars against their enemies. He was greatly admired. He would have been in a position of great wealth also, being second only to the king. We know that how the Syrians often, as you read through the Bible, they would plunder a city, taking all the goods away, the livestock, the cattle. And as we see here, they also took away people, women and children. In a sense, it was a last humiliation for their enemies to say that we've taken everything and now we're taking the most precious possession, your wives, your mothers, and your children. He was a wealthy man. He was a powerful man. He was a man that, at his bidding, an army of a nation would move and could destroy cities and take homes and wreak havoc around the cities and lands around them. He had everything going for him. But the Bible tells us right at the end there of verse 1, but he was a leper. He was a man that had everything, but truly he had nothing. Although he was a man of great wealth, people adored him, he was a man who could not enjoy all that. Surely there were people that loved him, yet he could not draw close to them. Leprosy was a disease that ate away at the skin and the nerves, and truly he would rot. And he could not go near anyone, he could not enjoy life as other people would enjoy life. He could not embrace his friends, could not hug and kiss his children. Truly, he was the exile in his own country. He had everything, and yet he had nothing. And what a beautiful picture we have of the sinful man today. But God had a plan for him. Although he had nothing, God placed a small voice in his household. And we find here in verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel. And a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Here we find that on one of these occasions, as the Syrians went out to battle and they captured the women and the children, this little girl was taken and was to be used as a maiden unto the wife of Naaman. She was to serve her and to be her help around the household. And God used this little girl to change the life of Naaman, and to put a great course of action into place for the great plan of salvation. And this is really what God speaks to me and hopefully to you about this morning. the great potential that's found in a little voice in a home, the voice of a child. And as we're looking at a time in our church calendar that we're about to bring in children once again into the house of God to teach them, I have a desire that we would have more of a fervency and more of a desire and more of a heart to reach children. And truly, if we have the heart of Christ this morning, we'll have a heart for children. The children are in the heart of Christ. And God does such a great work through the lives of children. And I pray that he would help us to recognize that this morning. He was a leper. He had everything, an incurable disease. But a small voice in humble faith proclaimed the truth of God and changed his life. This is the power of reaching children. And this is really our aim in Sunday school, with our children even, whatever children we come into contacting, putting small voices proclaiming the truth of God everywhere they go. And so we're just going to look at the first few verses this morning. In verse 2 it says, and the Syrians, I've read it just a minute, just remind us, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away a captive, the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Verse 3, and she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Here we find that this little maid, she knew the truth of God. She had gone through something so traumatic. She had seen something terrible. She had seen people slain in the streets, her city plundered. She had been captured, taken away. Can you imagine the heartache that this little one would have experienced? Torn away from her parents, never to see them again. And yet through all this trial and this trauma, she remembered what she was taught about God. And is this not a message to us this morning? Our children are going to experience terrible things in this life. We live in a wicked and broken world where evil abounds and is shown to us through TV, through radio, through the school playground. Wickedness abounds. But if we are those who are faithful in teaching our children the truth of God, it will come through. She did not despise the truth of God because of the difficulty that she faced and had been through. No, she knew that there was a God and that there was a prophet in Samaria that could cure Naaman of his disease and of his sinful estate. She had been taken of the spoil of war, and yet despite her circumstances, had not grown up to despise the one true God. Is that not our goal? To have our children grow up not despising the word of God. We think of teaching our children like placing them on a railway track and taking them in the right direction, and there's no chance for them to change track once they're on that road. We are to put them on that right track as they enter into this difficult and wicked world, that they might remember and know and never despise the word of God. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Isn't that the truth? He will not depart from the way that you and I teach him if we do it faithfully. But also, there's a flip side to that. He will not depart from the things we teach them faithfully, but also they won't depart from the things we teach them unfaithfully. What are children learning from us today? Are they learning the ways of God, the right way that we should live and honor God in our lives? Or are they seeing bad habits in us? Are they seeing us lose our temper? Are they seeing us talk about people behind their backs around the dinner table? Are they seeing us with the way that we treat money? Children are absorbing everything that we do in our day-to-day lives. And how dare we believe we can bring them to Sunday school and teach them something about God, but then live wickedly for the rest of the week? Because when you train a child up in the way that they will go, they won't depart from it. We must be ever careful about how we train our children. May we have a new desire to train them in the right way, the way of God. And we see here this little maid, she remembered. What a beautiful thought that is. All this influence from an early age had not been in vain. We remember the command of God in Deuteronomy. If you'd like to turn there, I'll read it out. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And God has just given again the law. And he says this from verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Are we those who are talking about these things at home, round the dinner table, at breakfast? Is it on our hearts constantly? You see, when God gave this instruction, I have no doubt in his almighty wisdom and power, he had in mind this little maid that was to be in the house of Naaman. And he had all the other children who were to be in areas that his gospel should be spread. We think of Daniel, who was taken into exile. And his friends, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, all these, they had a purpose. And that time investing in children, teaching them the ways of God, is never in vain. It's always a work of preparation. How much are we preparing our children today? And this is the question that God has put in my heart, thinking about Hudson and Asa. How much am I preparing them? Am I doing them a disservice by what they hear and see and learn from me? Or am I putting them on the right way so that they won't depart from it? We see also, despite her troubles, that she remembered. It's in terrible things. But the sovereignty of God had a purpose and plan for her. I want to see also, turning back in our text, the desire that this little maid had for her master and the love that she had for him. It's interesting to me that despite this being the people in which had taken her away from her home, had caused so much death and destruction in her hometown, that she loved them. She had a desire that he would be saved from his critical condition. And we find this with children. You see, children cut through any barrier that we have in life today, whether it be social, whether it be political, whatever it is, children in their humble and simple faith have an ability to love like adults often don't. And so when we teach children in the right way, often they can reach people that we would never have the heart to do. And when she says this in verse 3, she said, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." It's almost like she's lamenting. She said, why? If only he went to this prophet in Samaria, he would be saved. We feel the heart behind this little maid this morning. Has she truly desired that this man would be saved? Children have a love, like often the love that we have fails. And it reminded me of the lamentation that Christ had over Jerusalem. He says, "O Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy children like a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." Do we have a heart like this morning? There's so many lessons that we can learn ourselves from these things. Trying to reach children. Often the times when I teach Sunday school, I'm teaching myself. And I think, wow, these things that I see from these children, surely these things are at fault in my own life and heart. But here she truly loves and she has true compassion on the enemies of God's people. Christ said, love your enemies. Do we have this heart? And is this the heart that is seen from our children and the children that we teach and the children that we're around? I hope so. You see, children can reach homes that we would never consider going, because they can love when we are unable and when we're stifled by fear and pride as adults. I have to admit there are times in the ministry when there have been houses that I've knocked on and tried to speak of Christ, but there's been no heart or desire in there because of the people that are inside. And I ask for forgiveness for those times. And often these are houses that have Sunday school children in there. Houses that are broken and wickedness avails inside. And there have been times when I've done a Sunday school route on the bus and I've dreaded dropping them off, because I don't want them to be in a house like that. And I don't want them to be with those kinds of people. But this child runs lovingly into that home because there are people that they love inside. And they're going to tell them what they just learnt. You see the potential of a child we teach at Sunday school. The love that they have for people that we find unlovely often. So often we're like Jonah, aren't we? Who despised the grace of God towards the Ninevites, the enemy of God's people. But God was gracious, and God had a plan. And God has a plan for children, using them, entering them into these households where often we can't go, and giving them a message of hope and love like this little maiden did to Naaman. Children will go where we'll never be able to go. So you and I, let's send them with something to say. Let's send them with the gospel. Let's teach them the right way. Look thirdly at the belief that this little maiden had. When she proclaimed that the prophet in Samaria would be one who would truly heal Naaman, she truly believed it. She had no doubt in her mind that the prophet would fail, or that God's power would fail this man. And this is a special thing about children. They truly believe. Christ calls us to have a childlike faith because they're not surrounded by pride or arrogance. They don't have that in their minds at this moment, but they simply and humbly believe. And this little maid believed the power of God. She may not have heard any teaching of God for a long time, but she still had that belief in his power. In Luke 4, verse 27, Christ actually speaks of the healing of Naaman. And I only just realized this, but Naaman was the only man to be healed of his leprosy by Elisha. And there were many lepers in Israel. And so no one had ever been healed of this leprosy before. Yet this little maid believed with all her heart that this man could be healed. Isn't that a heart that we should have today? So often we look at people and we think they are so hard of heart that God can never do anything with them. But yet may we have this heart like this little girl, that we know the power of God, who can convert the most wicked of men in the most difficult of circumstances. You know, children never have a fear of saying the truth, do they? Maybe if you've had children, you can remember times where they've got you in a bit of trouble because whatever they feel is true in their hearts, they'll just throw it out there, won't they? And put you in a sticky situation. I've heard a little thing like this, and it goes, if your wife calls you ugly, she's probably mad at you. Or if your friend calls you ugly, then he's probably just jealous of you. But if a child calls you ugly, then you're probably ugly. Because the truth is, they just say what they believe to be true in their hearts. And if we're giving them truth, then they're going to say it. They're going to enter into these households that God has placed them in. And whatever is true to them, they're going to say it. And this is why there is such an importance for us to give them the truth. They're so moldable when they're young, so willing to accept, so ready. It's like hardening clay, isn't it? When we're given the opportunity, this precious opportunity, to teach a young soul the ways of God, we can mold them and form them in the ways that they should go. And that will be the mold that they take. I think it was Aristotle that said, "Give me a child until he is 7, and I will show you the man." Isn't that true? How children will take on everything we give them. Isn't that an amazing opportunity that we have? It gives us an urgency today to do all that we can, as much as we can, in giving children the gospel at an early age. And may we never be those who fall into the temptation of thinking it's too much for them to ask of them, for them to understand. No, you give them the truth, and they'll accept the truth. And we pray that they'll have true conversion in their hearts. But it's also a great privilege. There's urgency with children, but there's also a great privilege. If you'd like to turn to the Epistle of James in the back of your Bibles, right at the end of this chapter, and it's talking about helping a brother who has stumbled and bringing him unto faith. In verse 20. But it also applies here. So James chapter 5 verse 20 says, "Let him know," so the one who helps a brother, "that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." We're taught here through this epistle of James that when you help someone coming out of a way of a sinful life, when they are converted and they place their faith in Christ, then their way is changed, and a multitude of sins, the sins that they would have committed for the rest of their life, has been done away with. And yes, it's a noble thing to get up and to preach to people and to help and to try to do the work of God in enabling and to helping those who have lived sinful lives and bringing the sinner unto life, and to helping the drunkard unto sobriety, to helping the one who struggles with adultery into that unity with God. But there's something so much more noble about one who tends to the little soul of a child, who puts them in the right way, who teaches them the truth of God so that no longer do they have that in front of them. I'm sure many of us can think of sins in our lives that have wounded us, that crop up again and again, and the devil tempts us to despair and says, look at you as a sinner. How can you accept the grace of God? But yet when we attend to a soul and when they're brought unto conversion into an early age of their life, we cover a multitude of sins, a life of sin, protecting them from ruin and corruption from this word. It's the most noble cause to minister unto children. And I pray that the Lord would truly give us this desire. Back in our text, we find in verse 4, so she laments, she said, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet is in Samaria, that he would recover him of his leprosy. In verse 4, and one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. We find that this one small voice of the little maid from Israel, who knew and loved God and knew the truth of God, she was heard. She said it to the wife of Naaman. And no doubt the wife of Naaman came to Naaman and says, this is what this girl is saying. Can this be true? And Naaman, in his desperate estate, listens to the voice of the girl, and then he then goes to the king and pleads with the king that he can go to Samaria to see this prophet and experience the power of God. The voice of this girl was heard because she had truth. And may we understand today that when we teach children, what we teach them will be heard by others. May we never think that when we teach a child the truth of God, that that won't go any further than that room or that individual. That in fact, that they will run home, or they'll run to the playground, or they'll talk to their friends at school, and they will speak of what they've learned at Sunday school and about what's true in their hearts. It will never stay with that child. Their family will hear. And while it's never entered our minds that the message we have given them has gone out, they could be speaking to one who is an enemy of God like Naaman was, and bringing him unto a knowledge of a powerful God. What an amazing thought that is. What potential is found in a child? May the Lord give us a desire to teach children. This is why it's so important to teach the whole counsel of God to children. We're living in a day where there is much children's ministry that is weak and watered down. And often children are seen as an irritation. How they they shouldn't really be here listening to the preaching of the word, but we'll put them in a room, we'll get them to colour in a piece of paper. No. We're to give children the truth and be unapologetic in the truth. Tell them about sin. Tell them about their position before God. Tell them they need to be saved, and then tell them there is a Saviour, Jesus Christ, who died for their sins. Let them know, foremost, so that they can be saved, so that they know the way to salvation. But secondly, when they talk to their parents, when they go home from Sunday school, they can tell their friends and their parents the way of salvation, that they are a sinner, that they need saving, and that there is a Saviour, Jesus Christ. How precious are the words of a child, and how God can use these situations. Let's not water down the gospel, because a watered down gospel is not the gospel. I shouldn't really use that phrase. We need to give them the whole counsel of God. Children are able to bear it. It doesn't go over their heads. We understand when we say things at home that really, you know, we don't want a child to hear, that they will pick up on it. And why would we not understand that for the gospel? Why would we not believe that they can't pick up on these basic truths of who Christ is and what he has done for us? So let's give them the gospel unapologetically. Give it to them in song, in prayer, in preaching. Give it to them any way it can. We see the great necessity of every aspect of the Sunday school here. I love it. We have the scripture memory, hymns and songs, and the lesson. Whatever part that you might play in a Sunday school is vital. because these are all means of learning the gospel and the truths of God. And the times that children run home, maybe they don't remember the lesson, but they'll remember the song. And they'll sing of Christ and his love and how he died for them. They might remember the scripture memory. And so doesn't that give us a burden that whatever our position in a Sunday school, or whatever way that we teach children, it is of utmost importance that the message of God can go forward. Children repeat many times, every day, Hudson sings. And I love to hear it. We try in the mornings to have a time of worship, and he will sing and sing and sing. And he reminds me every day that he's a soldier going to glory. And although he may not grasp that at his age, but it reminds me that I'm a soldier of Christ going to glory. Now I'm to tell this story to everyone. What a beautiful way that God can use children in the homes of lost sinners in this day and age that we have. I'm reminded of the time that Christ came into Jerusalem on his triumphal entry, and how the disciples were proclaiming that this was the Christ. He was the King. And the Pharisees rebuked and says, these disciples, they should hold their silence. And Christ says, if they hold their silence, the rocks will cry out in praise. God can use anything to praise his name and to share the truth of his word. And he can use children, even children as young as my Hudson. And I'm so thankful for that. And so with a few words we find back in our text, a great series of events was put into place. We find just from that one expression, that one lamentation that she gave, that the word went to the wife. The wife said to Naaman, Naaman went to the king, and the king gave him an opportunity to go and to seek out this one true God. And he comes to Elisha. I'm just paraphrasing here. Elisha tells him to dip in the river seven times, the River Jordan. And there's a to and fro with the pride of Naaman, but he soon submits and washes himself in the river. And verse 15, and he returned to the man of God after he'd been cleansed. He and his company came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. From that one quiet voice in the house of Naaman, we find that God used it in all his sovereignty and his goodness to bring Naaman, a great enemy to the people of God, to an understanding of the one true God, that there was no other God in this world. And can you imagine the implications of that? Naaman, the great man of war, as he returns home, many people knowing of him, famous for his great victories in battle, but also famous for the fact that he can't come near his family. And here he is now, coming to his family and friends, embracing them, dining with them, no longer an exile in his own land, but a man full of love and grace because of the power of God. And surely the thousands of soldiers that knew of him were talking. What has happened to Naaman? And what had happened to Naaman? A small voice in his house. People came to him and asked him, surely, where have you been? And he had met and he had understood and he had seen the power of the one true God. Think of the military implications, a great enemy of Israel. And here is Naaman, a captain of that army that would attack Israel, to think, this is their God. We're not told really the implications, but can you imagine the great potential that's found in the single child we see here in this scripture? Because she was taught, she was placed on the right track when she was younger. She was given the word of God in and out of the Lord's house. She remembered those things that were taught. She believed the things that were taught, and the things that she believed were heard. And that is the pattern that God uses to save people. In his great plan of salvation, children have an almighty part to play. And so now, as we come and we're looking at bringing Sunday school back and youth group back, may we truly realize this potential and have a desire that we teach them in the right way. Psalm 127, we read it at the beginning of this service. Sorry. Let me just turn there. Psalm 127. And it has this great verse about children being a blessing. It talks about, unless the Lord build a house, that we build it in vain. Sunday school must always be built on the word of God, and that he let him build it. But it says this in verse 3. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. As arrows. Children are like the weapons of warfare, placed in the hand of a mighty man. You see, when we teach children, it's like we're sharpening arrows, giving them the word of God, giving them the truth, that they might be fired by God himself into the darkest areas, that they might bring life and light, eternal life. See, there is such a potential in children that it should burden us to be those who are sharpening arrows. Let's do it well. Let's never prepare for Sunday school lightly. Let's be prayerful about it, truly digging into God's word to see what he would have us to teach these young and precious souls. And I pray that as we go forward, the Lord would truly burden us with this.